Amen. Well, I've enjoyed myself, and I thank you so much for letting me come, Brother Parsons. This is a wonderful place. So many wonderful things go on to this place, and you have my utmost respect and my admiration, and I thank the Lord for him. Thank the Lord for Dr. Carter. Appreciate him. He's a hero. He's a legend of fundamentalism. And we thank the Lord for all the many years. I believe it's 50 years. God bless you, my brother. Appreciate it. Half a century preaching the gospel. That's wonderful. Good to see his wife. She'd been under the weather, so it was a delight to see her tonight. Thank God for her. Brother Kuinga, good to see you. What a friend you've been to me. Thank you so much for your friendship. It's a real blessing. And Brother Maxwell, God bless you. He and his wife, Hannah, told me they may be praying about coming to camp this summer. That's wonderful. That's exciting. Our theme this year is the King's Castle. Our verse is found in the book of Psalms 24, where the Bible said, "Who is this King of glory?" Amen. And we're going to have a great time, like a Renaissance theme and a wonderful time, knights in shining armor, all kinds of stuff. Boats with alligators. I have to borrow a few from Florida, I guess, to do that. But anyway, you pray for us. I'll leave early in the morning and go to Charleston, South Carolina to see this dear brother who is paralyzed from a fall. Just pray he can stay in the ministry. I've been trying to go around the country raising support for he and his wife. It's devastating what happened to him. And so just pray that this dear brother, he left. I helped him get the church 15 years ago, left California, sold everything he had to go. You know what it's like when you accept the pastorate, and now he's lost his health, and so we just need to be praying for him. When you think of a preacher to pray for Brother Sears in Charleston, South Carolina. I'll be with him for supper tomorrow night, and then give him a few things that we've been working on, and then head home, where it'll be when I get home Friday night, it'll be minus 3 degrees, projected weather. And it'll be 3 more inches overnight tonight, and from the several inches that's already there. So it happened to us. It finally came. If Al Gore would have just kept his mouth shut, we wouldn't have had all this global warming that we're having right now. So, but anyway, so it's a joy to be here. Thank you so much. And just keep us in your prayer. Put us in your most trodden place of prayer. For me, that's my refrigerator door, if you'd do that for me. And just pray for me as an evangelist. I would truly, truly appreciate it. Get your Bibles turned to 2 Samuel, if you will. And would have loved to have my wife. She's been busy this week. I work her too hard, and so she's very, very busy. But you heard about the man that took a $1 million challenge. He took it. His wife said, "I want you to take this challenge." And the challenge of the $1 million was to swim across an alligator-infested pond. And he got in that water. I mean, he scooted across that water unscathed as fast as he could. And his wife was so excited, she was jumping up and down and hugging. He said, "Oh, you won the $1 million. You did it. You did it." He said, "You know, I think somebody pushed me in the water." And she said, "Well, you know the old adage, every good man's got a good woman pushing him along the way." That's my wife. She's pushing me along the way. I've often called my wife my balance wheel. You remember the old watches that used to go tick-tock, tick-tock, tick, and had a balance wheel in it? She's my balance wheel. I love her. Thank God for her 45 years of marriage, and I thank the Lord for her. And this is my political joke. Got to get some politics in. Hercules, Snow White, and Hunchback of Notre Dame were talking. Hercules said, "I'm the strongest man in the world." Snow White said, "I'm the most beautiful." Hunchback of Notre Dame said, "I'm the ugliest." Sitting around the table conversing, they wanted God to verify it. And God said, "Yep, Hercules, you are the strongest. Yes, Snow White, you are the most beautiful. But who is this Nancy Pelosi?" I say amen to that one right there. All right, let's stand, please. Thank you for the courtesy laugh. You might need the smile in a minute. I don't know, but 2 Samuel, chapter number 5. 2 Samuel, chapter number 5. beginning in verse 17. When the Philistines heard that they had anointed David king over Israel, all the Philistines came up to seek David. David heard of it, went down to the hole. That's a place where they were meeting with his armies. Just anointed, and he's already in a battle. Verse 18, and the Philistines also came to spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. Rephaim is known as the valley of giants. And David inquired of the Lord. Now, you'll see that more than once here. And he was always a man of prayer. The Bible said, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I go up to the Philistines? Wilt thou deliver them into mine hand? And the Lord, the Bible said unto David, go up. Remember those two words, because in a minute he's going to change it from go up. Go up, and I will doubtless deliver the Philistines into thine hand. David came to Baal-perazim, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies before me as a breach of waters. Therefore, he called the name of the place Baal-perazim, which means the hill of breaches. Verse 21. And there they left their images, that's their idols and their deities, and David and his men burned them. I wish America would do the same thing. Yeah. Verse 22, and the Philistines came up yet again. Notice that. Yet again. And it spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim, and David inquired of the Lord. There he is talking to the Lord again. Here's a second battle coming up. He said, thou shalt not go up. Well, the first time God said, go up. This time he said, thou shalt not go up, but fetch a compass, that means to set up, behind them, and come upon them over there against the mulberry trees. And let it be, when thou hearest the sound of a going at the tops of the mulberry trees, that when thou shalt bestir thyself, for then shall the Lord go out before thee, smite the host of the Philistines. David did so, and the Lord had, as the Lord had commanded him, smote the Philistines from Geba, which is really Gibeon, unto the Bible said, until they come to Gezer, which means there was a complete victory. All up and down that valley, Israel was victorious, and God had helped them win two battles in one setting. I want to preach from the second battle there, where it talks about the mulberry trees. The title of the message tonight is The Sound of the Mulberry Trees. The sound of the mulberry tree. Sometimes we don't know what to do. What to do when you don't know what to do? Sometimes you just need to listen and wait for God to show up. If we would just rely on the Lord, you know, Dr. John Rice had a book, Prayers Asking, and that's true, that's biblical, it's in the Word of God. But sometimes prayer is listening. When's the last time you didn't say anything and you just listened to what God wanted? When's the last time you prayed and God answered without you having to say much about it? God will be God regardless. But sometimes when we get in that spot where we don't know what to do, we just need to do what he asked Israel to do tonight. The sound of the mulberry trees, or in the mulberry trees. Let's bow our heads, please. Father, bless tonight. Use this message. Thank you, Lord, for this Bible conference. Lord, the theme is continue. And Lord, we've been preaching along those lines. Just be steady and faithful. And dear God, I pray you'd help me with tonight's message and help the church. Help us, Lord, to be stronger and faithful because of this meeting. Thank you, Lord, for Pastor Parsons and the great load that he carries. And Lord, I pray you'd just continue to anoint him and lift him up. And thank you, Lord, that he's the man in this place to run this great ministry. Bless this church and these wonderful people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. May I say tonight, the Lord is my helper. No matter what circumstance befalls us, God is our helper. May I say also that God's strategy is divine. Sometimes we don't understand what he's doing, but we know he's at work. We know God's always, always working. In this second battle, he tells Israel to get behind them. The first battle, he said, meet them head on. And because David asked of his help, God did it. He met them head on, and the Bible said it was like a breach of waters. In other words, it was like a spillway overflowing or a spillway bursting. And God took care of that battle. But here they came again. They just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And this time the Lord said, get behind the trees, the mulberry trees, and hide there and stay there and don't move. But just wait for the sound of a going. Now you say, what is that? I don't know. I wish I could tell you. Maybe it was wind. Maybe it was angels. Maybe it was birds. You ever been around a mulberry tree when the mulberry's in full foliage? I mean, birds are everywhere. Maybe it was birds. I don't know. I don't have the mind of God in this area. The Bible's silent here. But I want you to know, my friend, God said he would go before them. God said he'd be with them. And because David asked again, David inquired of the Lord, Lord, am I supposed to go up before these people? Will you fight my battle? And the Lord said, yes, but you do what I tell you to do. Just sit still and just wait. Maybe it was the sound of army feet. Maybe it was the Philistines marching. I don't know. Whatever it was, God was in charge. Maybe it was angels in tops of those trees making the sound. But God said, when you hear the sound, when you hear the sound of the going, maybe that was God going before them. We do know the Bible said he was with them. When you hear the sound of a going, he said, bestir thyself. I do know what that means. It means to make ready. It means to move out. It means to not hesitate. It means to not second guess. It means to go and do it immediately. Sometimes we're in a spot where we can't sit still. We just have to do what God tells us. And they had waited long enough. And God said, when you hear the sound of a going, he said, bestir thyself. Move out. Do something like I tell you to do. And that's what happened. And the Bible said that they destroyed the Philistines all up and down that place. If you look at those cities where they had defeated, you'll find that it was a huge area that God allowed David in his first time being a king, fighting the Philistines. They were always a thorn in the flesh of Israel, but David showed them a thing or two with God's help. This was a perplexing enemy, the Philistines. It was a pertinent deliverance. What happened here related directly to what was the matter at hand. It was a promised victory. God said at the first battle, it'll be like a breach of waters, and it was. Then there was a persistent retaliation. The Bible said in verse 18, the Philistines also came. And in verse 20, the Bible said, and they came yet again. They came yet again. And then it was a purposeful triumph. In other words, my friend, God said, don't attack them from the front this time. Attack them from the rear. I think that's kind of unusual, but God has a sense of humor sometimes. Because if you find out how the Philistines used to attack others, they used to attack from the rear to the weary and the faint, the children, the women. And this time God said, you just wait a while. And when I tell you to move out, you hit them from behind. Amen. Not from the front this time, but from behind. We can't fully estimate faithfulness that allows a victory. Sometimes it's like we have to, as it were, listen for the sound in the mulberry trees. Let me give you 3 points tonight. Are you with me? Say amen. Amen. Number one, the sound in the mulberry trees was properly deployed. Would you agree, my friend, only God could do what happened in this story? Would you agree, my friend, David didn't know what to do? Would you agree that David did the right thing by asking the Lord to help him? Then what are we waiting on? We get ourselves in a fix and in trouble, and we try to handle it in the arm of the flesh. But God says, you wait on me. God says, you do what I ask you to do. Now, what was it that they were waiting for? God said it was a sound. A sound. Maybe it was the wind. We do know the wind in the Bible of the Old Testament is a type of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it was angels. We do know that God went before them. And angels had a great part to play in the Old Testament and even today. But you look at this story and you wonder what it is that God wanted to do. He said, stay behind the mulberry tree. Sometimes we don't need to get out in front of the mulberry trees. We need to study our adversary. Need to be weary, and to be watchful of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Need to be ready for the battle. Prepare ourselves for the battle. And that's what Israel was doing. The Bible does say that the heart of the king and his people are in the hand of the Lord. I want my problems to be in God's hand. I want the struggles of my life to be in the Lord's hand. David, may I remind us all, was a shepherd king. He was a shepherd king. He didn't own the sheep. He fed the sheep. He led the sheep. He was entrusted with them. He loved them. He protected them. But these were not his sheep. And God was trying to teach him that Israel was not his people. Israel was God's people. And God said, I'll take care of my people. If you do what I tell you to do, I'll take care of them. And he did. We need to develop a total, complete turning to God for the guidance that we need and the help that we need. When enemies threaten us, we need to rely on God and his victory and God's word only. David stood aside for God's providence in his work and providential work. Sometimes the greatest prize is won by the least among us. He was just a shepherd boy, but he became a king. Amen. He became a king. I remember a windstorm that happened in West Virginia. They called it a derecho. And it happened a few years back, and we were planning to have a meeting on the weekend in between camp, and we were going to be planning our youth conference. We had over 350 young people coming. They were coming from all over the place. One church in California had chartered a jet for their young people, and they were coming all the way from California. We had them coming from Florida. We had them coming from as far away as Michigan. They were coming, and all of a sudden, we were having our meeting on a Friday morning, or Friday afternoon after some of the campers had left, and had about 75 of us in our dining hall, and all of a sudden, things began to change. We heard the earth rumbling. The sky turned black. My parents were there because they were going to be celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and we always have fireworks at the youth conference, and people that do the Pittsburgh Regatta fireworks, they do ours as well. And they were there, and we were going to be celebrating with them their anniversary. And all of a sudden, everything began to shake. It was calm, and then all of a sudden, the wind hit. We have a drop ceiling in the cafeteria, and there's a 4-foot separation between that and the rafters. It picked those drop ceiling tiles up and threw them down on the ground. All the lighting came with it while we were in the building. When it was all said and done, 85% of the electricity in West Virginia was gone. It was out. Not just for a day, not for 2 days, not for a week or 2 weeks, but for weeks. The electricity was out in 85% of our state. We met again as a group of people and we said, what are we going to do? Youth conferences in 2 days. Should we cancel? Should we call everybody? We don't have power. Thousands of dollars worth of perishables in the freezers. What are we going to do? And to my surprise, everybody on the staff said, let's call the churches and let's see if they'll come and we'll try to take care of them. And we did. And to our surprise, not one church backed out. Amen. To our surprise, every church said, we're coming. In our area, there's a lot of gas well drilling companies. And they heard of our dilemma, our campgrounds, and what we do for young people. This really happened. They began to bring in generators on trailers, and generators that were diesel generators and gasoline generators. We have over 40 buildings. Every building was turned on by portable electricity. Not only did they bring out the generators, but they brought out the diesel every day and filled them up. And they brought out the gasoline every day, trucks every day and filled them up. We couldn't hear each other talk, but we had power. Amen. I bring all that up to say, my friend, God can work miracles. We had people in that meeting, and I go around the country, and people still come up to me and said, God called me to preach during that very time. I got saved during that very time. I think there were over 20 young people that got saved during that time. What if we'd have just quit? I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what was proper to do. But I know there's a God in heaven. I know God can help, and I know God has His way. And sometimes we don't understand it, but God will take care of us. Let me give you the second point still with me. Say amen.
Amen.
First of all, the sound of the mulberry trees was properly deployed. Second of all, the sound of the mulberry trees was properly timed. Would you agree that God's timing was just right?
Amen.
David couldn't have timed it like God did. This was properly timed. Sometimes our obligations should be before the Lord. David, when he was ordained or anointed to be king, he said, from this day forward, I want to be before the Lord. I want God to have my business. I want God to take care of Israel. And all that we do ought to be before the Lord. We'll never reach our aim unless we fulfill our early promise. You ever made promises to God? We need to go back to those promises that we haven't kept and tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. Help me to do what I ask you to help me to do. The lowest occupation is usually the preparation for the highest opportunity. Let me say that again. The lowest occupation is usually the preparation for the highest opportunity. You have a pastor, a wonderful pastor, but he wasn't always the pastor. He started on the bottom. I know a little bit about him. He was a humble servant, and God lifted him up to the place where he's at right now. And sometimes we want the top position. Sometimes we want to be number one in leadership, but God says, I want you to do the menial tasks. I want you to do the simple task. I want you to be the servant. Performing duties always allows us to have honors. One victory leads to another victory, but many victories takes a lifetime. A lifetime. You want something to happen good in your life? Just hang in there and be faithful to it. Be faithful to it. David was humble. David was dependent upon God. David had godly courage. And God works with imperfect people to perform a higher goal. Our imperfections resist God's word sometimes and His will. But God's favors are to those who are faithful. If you want God to bless, just be faithful. By the way, you can have no greater accolade and no greater compliment than for somebody to shake your hand and say, God bless your faithfulness. Apart from salvation, that's one of the greatest testimonies you can ever have. God bless your faithfulness. We've heard testimony about it here from the sermons this week already. It's been a blessing. But may I remind you, my friend, the best of us are imperfect. We need God's help. We need for God to show His power in our life. First of all, the sound of the mulberry trees was properly deployed. The second one was properly timed. And the third is this. The sound of the mulberry trees was properly executed. Properly executed. Only God could plan the battle that looked so impossible. David, I'm sure, wondered, what are we supposed to do? Hide and just hide from? That's not a way to fight. That's what I would think. But the Lord said, David, just sit still. The first thing they did after the first battle was pull down the images and burn them up. I would suggest if you're going to do anything for the Lord, take the images of this world out of your life. Purify your life and let God have the best of your life. Destroy them and destroy the works of evil in your life. David enjoyed success, but not until he had seasons of struggles and trials. And sometimes we'll have those in our life. Sometimes there'll be struggles we don't know what to do about. But God's grace and God's help will generate us, it's generated by our trust in Him. Future difficulties depend on our faithfulness. God allows His purpose through struggles in our life. Sometimes power proves destruction. Check out Samson and Delilah. Check out the dead son of David and Bathsheba. You remember him. He didn't even have a name. The Bible called him a ewe lamb. A ewe lamb is a female lamb. So I don't know, maybe their child was a girl, I don't know. But we know one thing, David couldn't eat, couldn't sleep. That child died. And the first thing he said was, I can't bring him back, but I can go to where he is.
Amen.
Amen.
Maybe there's been that little white casket in your life. Maybe you've had times that you can't explain and times that are hard. We don't know what we'll face tomorrow. We don't know the struggle of life that we'll have to face tomorrow. It may be our children. It may be our jobs. And the way things look in America, it's not getting much better. As a matter of fact, it's getting kind of serious in some of the supermarkets. Empty shelves that they said wasn't going to happen. I appreciate your governor. I wish everybody took the good stand that he did. But sometimes life is strange. There's a story of a man that I met. His name was Roger Mullins. You might know him. Some of you might know him. To me, Roger Mullins was the most popular preacher in the state of West Virginia. Preached in more churches and more places in West Virginia than anybody I've read about in history. But the story of Roger Mullins goes something like this. By the way, I asked him to come preach for me at my camp one time. And he said, let me answer you later on. Just a small man of stature. But he drove all the way to my office in West Union, West Virginia, and he had pinged out his testimony on several white pages. He put it on my desk and said, read that, you may not want me to preach at your camp. It went something like this. When Roger Mullins was just a small young man, not teenage age, just a junior age boy, his daddy was a drunkard. His daddy couldn't support the family. One night, his mother and five children were in a bedroom with her. And they had a magazine out, and she was reading to the children from this magazine. He came home drunk, and the bottle began to talk. It wasn't him. But because the lights were on, he got mad and lost his temper. He picked a brick up from the outside, brought it inside, and held that brick up and was coming after his wife. She had an infant child. They nicknamed him Pudge. He was the baby of the family. She grabbed Pudge and she ran through the window. Bursting that window out, she began to run for her life, leaving the other children inside that room. She left and never came back. All the children were whisked away. There were two girls. They took those girls to a grandmother's house, one of them, and an aunt's house to another. The boys were taken to a rescue mission downtown Charleston, West Virginia. A big sign on the highway said, if you're having struggles with your family, come see us. And so the daddy went to the owner of that rescue mission, and the boys were scared to death. Because he left them there. He said, I'll be back when things are better. Until then, they've decided to keep you here. Those boys begin to cry with convulsions of tears. Thought everything had ended for them. Thought they'd never see their parents ever again. And the first thing that man said at the rescue mission was he put his arm around those boys and he said, I want you to know one thing. If you never know anything in your life, God loves you. God loves you. Roger Mullins said, for days and days, I cried myself to sleep. 4 years later, that's right. 4 years later, their daddy shows up at the rescue mission. Demands to take his boys back home. Still a drunk, shacking up with a woman. And they were hiding out two criminals, escapees from the prison, up in the hills of Mingo County, West Virginia, one of the hardest counties of our state. Coal mining city, coal mining county. And his daddy wanted the boys home so they could watch out and be a stakeout for these criminals. They were up to no good, selling drugs, all kinds of things. And they made the boys go up and stay in those rock caves of Mingo County, West Virginia. Cold, scared of the creatures at night and the sounds of the night. True story. Roger's brother, a little older than he was, noticed that one of the boys, one of the men inside that cave, had a bottle of whiskey. And he went in and he grabbed that bottle of whiskey, brought it outside, and he drank himself to sleep as a young boy. He woke up and he said, "Roger, I'm leaving. I can't take it anymore. I'm tired of this life that our dad has put us in. I'm leaving like mama did." He said, "Don't do it. If daddy catches you, he'll kill you." He said, "I'm leaving." Began to march down the mountain unseen. Roger was scared and he followed his brother. True story. They ended up in a farmhouse a couple of miles away. Told the story I just told you. The lady invited him in the house. A few hours later, two cars pulled up in the yard. It was their grandma and their aunt that had been taking care of their sisters and took them home to help raise them. When Roger got a little older, he decided to go to Chicago to the steel mills. Then he decided to join the armed services. He met his wife there. His other brother was downtown Chicago and saw a big red flashing sign. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Chicago Rescue Mission. His brother walked in there, stayed with the rescue mission for several days, and got saved. Amen. His brother became a deacon of Dr. Jack Howell's for many, many years. Several years later. They wanted to find their mother when they were older. So all the children got together, said, "We want mom in the house." They went on a search and they found her. And they brought them to their place. All of them sharing the rent of a home. All of them taking care of the mother. They led their mother to Christ because they had been getting saved one after another. After another. Roger got saved in the armed services. He's the preacher of the family now. And now the burden is about dad. All the things dad did against the family. Finally they found him. They found him in the ICU of the hospital in Charleston, West Virginia. Sick unto death and dying. All the brothers got in a car and they drove from Chicago down to Charleston, West Virginia. They walked inside and got the permission to get inside the room. Roger walked up to his daddy. He said, "Dad, I'm a preacher now. Mom's with us. Mom's gotten saved. We've all gotten saved. We all go to church. We're different now, Dad." Tears coming down his daddy's cheeks. He said, "Look over into the drawer of that piece of furniture." And he said, "Look inside that billfold." Roger pulled out a billfold, opened it up, and pulled out a letter that was just falling to pieces. He pieced it together on a table. And his daddy said, "Read it. Read it out loud." And it told a story how that his mother, his wife, their mother, told what I told you about their salvations, one by one by one, and that she got saved. And he looked at Roger with tears and dying and said, "Roger, I'm ready now. Would you help me know Christ?" And in that hospital bed, the last one of the family to be saved was Mr. Mullins. He bowed his head and he trusted Christ as his personal Savior. Oh, by the way, the owner of that rescue mission was Pat Withrow. When Pat Withrow was retiring and dying himself, guess who he asked to be the rescue mission director? You guessed it. Roger Mullins. Roger Mullins made that rescue mission like no other rescue mission had ever been in that area. He became so popular helping people off the street and helping people in peril. Churches, one by one, began to bring him in and talk to him and support him and support the rescue mission. This is a guy that said, "You may not want me to preach at my camp." And I told Roger, "I really want you to come now."
Amen.
He preached and pastored a church for several years as well as the rescue mission. Roger gave his life helping the less fortunate.
Amen.
All of his life until he expired. I don't know about you, but sometimes in life, we just don't know what to do.
Amen.
I want to quote Pat Withrow as he hugged those boys. God loves you. Don't you ever forget that. If you've never heard anything that was said this week, just remember this. God loves you. He loves, he cares, nothing this truth condemn. He does the very best for those who leave the choice with him. Maybe you know some Roger Mullins family. Maybe the bus kids of your church need your kind of help. Maybe the less fortunate need someone to get a burden just for them. But I know that's what church is all about. Coming, getting right with God, getting saved, and then finding a burden for somebody else. It's been good to hear that 6 people have been saved since Sunday. And that's the week's not even over yet. That's because of a caring church. That's because of somebody that loves somebody else. So what to do when you don't know what to do? Listen for the sound of the mulberry trees. And just wait. And when you're honoring God and doing what God wants you to do, he'll take over. Yes, he will. Shall we stand, please? Bow our heads. Properly deployed, properly timed, properly executed. God did it all. All David had to do is move out when God told him. All David was supposed to do was listen for the sound. But when you hear the sound, move out. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. I wonder how many would say tonight, "I want to listen and wait. And when God speaks, I want to be tender enough to do what he tells me. Obedient enough to do what he tells me." You may be a college student. You may be single here. You may be someone that's lost your spouse. But you want to listen to what God has to say. How many tonight would say, "Brother Taylor, would you pray for me? Times are tough. I want to listen to the sound in the mulberry trees." My hand is raised. How about yours? Yes, and God bless you. Would there be anybody here tonight that would say, "Brother Taylor, I don't know that I'm saved. If I died where I stand, I doubt I would get to go to heaven. I don't know for sure I'm saved, but I'd like to know. Would you pray for me that I might be saved and for sure?" Hold your hand up right now. Anybody like that? Anywhere? Anywhere? All right. God bless you, preacher.